Good evening, and thank you for tuning in to another edition of Crunch Time presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority for work, sports, and everyday injuries. You can go online to orthosensi.com to schedule your next appointment and learn more about their services. That's orthosinci.com. I am your host, Double T, Travis. They're glad to be with you on this Monday evening, a beautiful day here in Eagle Country. This would have been much better weather to play golf in than what I was in this past Saturday. I did have a great time, got together with some buddies that I graduated from Lawrenceburg High School with. We've been friends since we were little kids, and it's awesome that we still have that friendship to this day. And there was eight of us, played in two foursomes out in Harrison, two-man best ball. Super cold, super windy. I was not looking forward to playing par 5, 500 yards with the wind coming right at us. That was a brutal hole on the back nine. I believe that was 16. That was a rough one, but overall, pretty good day, fun time. Hit the ball really well, just couldn't putt it very well because it was my first time out this spring, and usually the putter takes a little time to get going for me. Just hadn't been on a green in a little while, but a lot of fun and looking forward to the next outing with my buddies, which is coming up pretty soon. I'll probably tell you about that one as well, but I'm sure that's not why you tuned into the show this evening, but wanted to share that I had a little fun on the golf course over the weekend. Looking forward to doing that some more in 2024. We're going to get to a whole lot on the show this evening. I'm going to start by talking about the Indiana Basketball Coaches Association and their boys basketball all-state teams. We're going to talk about a young lady that was a graduate of East Central High School that's doing some really spectacular things at the college level. We're going to talk some track and field, big indoor event up in Indianapolis that many of our local schools participated at or had representation at over the weekend. And then, because we are in that weird time of the year where we're transitioning from winter to spring sports, I've probably explained this a couple times over the last couple of weeks, we are going to kind of go off of the high school sports topics and talk some stuff that's happening more on a national level with the men's and women's basketball tournaments going on. Reds opening day is happening on Thursday, so I think that's all relevant stuff to what's happening in the sports world and what everyone's probably paying attention to nowadays. So we'll try to put some sort of local tie on it or a regional tie with the men's and women's basketball tournaments with some teams from the Midwest still alive in those tournaments. Not many of them, but there are some. So that's what we're going to be talking about on the show this evening. But without further ado, let's jump into Indiana high school basketball. Five high school basketball stars from right here in southeastern Indiana in the Eagle Country 99.3 listening area did earn all-state honors. The Indiana Basketball Coaches Association, as I mentioned, announcing their 2023-24 Supreme 15 large school and small school all-state teams. In total, there were 270 players recognized, 135 senior class, 135 underclass were recognized. Locally, South Ripley Jr. Cole Henry had the most prestigious honor of those five, named to the underclass small school all-state team. Averaged 20.3 points per game, 8 rebounds this season for the Raiders. Shot 55% from the field and 72% from the free throw line. At 6'7", he does a bulk of his damage down low, but a young man that can score at all three levels. Don't see a whole lot of the mid-range game, but he can step out, shoot some threes. Really, really well-rounded, talented player for South Ripley. And did notch his 1,000th career point in a 37-point performance against Rising Sun earlier this season. He got that milestone moment with a thunderous dunk, which was pretty cool. We do have the video on our website, Facebook page. If you didn't see it, you can go back and find it over there. But a well-deserved honor for Cole Henry. One name that was omitted from the small school all-state underclass team was fellow ORVC star Cam Craig. And many times when we do a segment like this, we're just kind of saying, hey, these are the players that made the team. These are the players that got this type of recognition. I'm going to put a little bit of a gripe up here with Cam Craig because he certainly put up numbers to be on the small school all-state team, although he found himself on the honorable mention list. That is still a great accomplishment. He's among the best, 270 players in the state. that's pretty cool in and of itself. But this is a young man as a junior that led the ORVC in scoring at 25.8 points per game. He was the leading rebounder in the conference at right around 10 points per game, made the most three-pointers in the ORVC, and also another young man that eclipsed that 1,000-point career mark this season and did so in a 40-point performance. He scored 40 points twice this season, had four 39-point games, including two 39-point games, so he could have went for 40 four different times. He scored double digits in every single game that he played, a low of 14, a high of 40. You're not going to find a more consistent player in the state, especially scoring the basketball, than Cam Craig. So I just wanted to make sure that everyone knows that he certainly played at the level to be on that underclass small school all-state team. And that's not to take anything away from Mr. Cole Henry or any of the other young men that made it onto that underclass all-state team. I just think that Cam Craig was very, very deserving of that honor as well, even though he didn't get it. Maybe that's just more fuel into the fire and more motivation for him going into his senior season. But I wanted to kind of highlight Cam because of how fantastic he played during his junior season. Now, we do have a couple of young men from Batesville that were honored, a junior and EIAC MVP, Cade Kaiser. He was on the underclass honorable mention team as well, along with Oldenburg Academy junior Henry Wanstrath, and then the EIAC All-Conference selection, Sam Johnson. He was named senior honorable mention for Kaiser and Johnson. These are two young men that I got to see up close and personal this season on a couple different occasions. Both different players, but very, very good, and a big reason why Batesville went on to win the sectional championship. A very tough sectional to win, by the way, out at Greensburg. But Cade Kaiser, with his size and his length at 6'4", super athletic, can score at all three levels. Even though he doesn't often shoot a lot of threes, he's a capable scorer out there. But the mid-range and certainly getting to the rim is his MO. Very good free throw shooter as well. And then on the defensive end, in that championship game, sectional championship game, against Lawrenceburg, he had four or five blocks in that game. All clean, great body control, long arms. Again, the athleticism showing there as well. So Cade Kaiser, phenomenal basketball player, really good football player. He's going to help Batesville's baseball team this spring as well. And for Sam Johnson, this is a young man that you got to be close to him at all times. Maybe the best shooter in the area this year from beyond the arc. You could argue a few other names in there as well. But a big-time scorer for Batesville, and while he can do a lot of damage from the three-point line, I think that's where he wants to shoot it. Fantastic mid-range jumper. Can get to the basket, not always trying to be aggressive in that part of the game, but when he does go to the basket, whether he's finishing there or not, if he gets to the free throw line, you might as well forget about it. 85% all year long, one of the best free throw shooters as well. So those two young men certainly deserving as well. And while I didn't get a chance to see Henry Wanstrath up close and personal from Oldenburg Academy, from all indications, highly talented player. You don't get to be mentioned among the best in the state without being one of the best there. So congratulations to Henry, and hopefully we'll get a chance to see him play as a senior next season. So again, a lot of really talented players in the area. This is really kind of putting a bow on the boys basketball season with the All-State announcements. A lot of these players that we've been talking about in the past few weeks with All-Conference honors, All-State honors, a lot of them are coming back. There's a really, really good junior class just kind of across the board out there. Got some freshmen and sophomores that are going to be a year older, more experienced, maybe physically stronger. So I think there's going to be some really, really good basketball here in Southeast Indiana going into this next season where the juniors become seniors, so forth and so on. I think I've made my point. A lot of really good players coming back, so certainly looking forward to the next season. All right, so let's go ahead and jump aside, take a short break. We'll come back with second half action of Crunch Time. It is presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. When we come back, we're going to talk about Erica Wells. We got some track and field, and we're going to get into some college basketball and Reds opening day. This is Crunch Time on Eagle Country 99.3. Welcome back to Crunch Time, presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. I am Double T, glad to be with you on this Monday evening. If you want to learn more about our friends at OrthoSensi, their locations, their physicians, how they can help you out if you are in need, go to OrthoSensi.com. That's OrthoSensi.com. All right, as promised, we're going to talk about Erica Wells, young lady that graduated from East Central High School just, a year or two ago. I don't have that off the top of my head, but she is currently a student athlete at Illinois State University, where she does play soccer, a very, very talented soccer player, is among the statistical leaders all time at East Central in various aspects of the game. But not only is she playing soccer at Illinois State, but she's also pursuing a degree in molecular and cellular biology. So she is on the pre-med pathway, and this is a young lady that carries a 4.0 GPA. That is well above the GPA I carried at the collegiate level, and I did not play a sport, so makes it all that much more impressive. She was named to the Dean's List during the fall 2023 semester, which is a pretty big deal. And when she's not studying, there's not really a lot of downtime for Miss Erica Wells. She serves as a soccer personal trainer, easy for me to say, on the weekends. Also a member of the Independence Service Dog Club. Not exactly sure what that is, but some community service, I would assume, there in the pet field. And then now she is the new girls junior varsity soccer head coach and varsity assistant at nearby Bloomington High School. Again, we're talking about Illinois. Yes, they have a Bloomington as well. And Erica said in a social media post, I should say. Well, I'm having a little trouble during this segment. She is super excited to have the opportunity to coach and lead these phenomenal young women, excited to be a part of their journey. Let's try that again. Erica's super excited to have the opportunity to coach and lead these phenomenal young women and is excited to be a part of their journey. There we go. Got it out. So Erica Wells, a defender for Illinois State, appeared in 14 games for the Birds this past season, totaled around 350 minutes. Big-time contributor at East Central, four-time conference champ, three-time sectional champ, ranks in the top 10 in career points with 106, and she was East Central's all-time leader in assists until Lexi Watkins broke that record this past fall. Erica had 48. Lexi ends her career with 54, and then she's going to be playing collegiately at Ball State. So that program out in St. Leon, churning out some really great soccer players and great individuals as well. I don't know how Erica Wells does it. Plays soccer, maintains a 4.0 GPA, gives her time to help others, whether they're four-legged friends or people trying to get better at soccer, and now she's going to be a coach at a nearby school. That is just unbelievable. All that stuff that she has on her plate, like I said, don't know how she does it, but kudos to this young lady. When she goes to look for a job, I guess I should say, after college, I don't think she's going to have any trouble finding one, because she's showing what kind of worker she is, what kind of person she is with everything that she takes on during her college days. It's just absolutely phenomenal. Really cool story. I pretty much just talked about the whole story, but if you want to read it for yourself, you can do that over at EagleCountryOnline.com. All right, now let's talk a little track and field. Got to get some information in front of me. We did have a lot of student athletes from the area compete at the Hoosier State Relays. This happened over the weekend at the Indiana State Fairgrounds in Indianapolis, and this kind of rounds out the indoor track and field season, which we don't spend a lot of time on. We don't cover it a lot, but it is a great kind of warm-up to the track and field season that will be under, you know, the IHSAA umbrella this spring, and of course move on to a state championship and all that good stuff. I'm sure we're going to have some local track and field stars that will make it to the state level or come very close. Plenty of talent there this season, but this was a track and field competition that fielded 24 competitors or relay teams in each event. And there was over 70 schools represented in the small school division that was Class 1A through 3A. East Central was there as well, competing in the large school division. But it was Batesville that was really the standout at the Hoosier State Relays, had the most team success, finishing ninth out of 45 scoring teams in the girls division. The boys placed 30th, but some of the top performers from Batesville, Ella King finished 4th in the shot put. We also had a couple of relay teams, Megan Allgaier, Bailey DeMarie, Kylie Raver, and Kaylin Beadle. They were 6th in the distance medley. And then Megan Allgaier, Bailey DeMarie again, Catherine Lips, and Kaylee Raver were 19th in the 4x400. Some of the other top performers from other area schools, Emma Rosenberger, 8th in the pole vault. Alexa Yeemans was 5th in the 60-meter hurdles out of South Ripley. Lawrenceburg's Ava Merkel finished 19th in the 60-meter race. She was also part of the 4x200 race with Morgan Manford, Aubrey Labazo, and Melina Foster. They finished 14th. Had a team from Franklin County finish 16th in the 4x400. That was Ella Flannery, Esther George, Taylan Brewer, and Mackenzie. I'm going to try this name. Mackenzie Rosinski. I hope I got that right. And then Jenna Weiler from East Central was 19th in the 3200 meter. Now we'll go over to the boys' side, looking at Batesville, again, the top-performing team out of our area teams. Hudson Coleman, 11th in the pole vault. Aiden Eckstein, 9th in the long jump and 3rd in the high jump. Pretty impressive performance there. Had the 4x400 team of Gage Pullman, Cannon Clark, Deve Ranka, and Blake Hornberger finish 11th. Looking at some other teams, Crew Gilmore, 13th in the long jump. Blake Pruce from South Dearborn was 17th in the shot put. Lance Fields from Franklin County was right behind him at 19th in that same event. Ryan Henthorne from Lawrenceburg finished 8th in the 60-meter hurdles. Milan had a good contingent there. Lucas Cooney, 19th in the 3200. Aiden Potts, his teammate, was 23rd in that event. They also teamed up for the distance medley, where Milan finished 11th. Lucas Cooney, Gabe and Ben Reilly, and Aiden Potts. A very good team that's done well in cross country and track and field. So they finished 11th in the distance run. Franklin County had some other performers there as well. 22nd in the 4x200 with Owen Harvey, James Willis, and Keegan Clark. Roland Clark, Joey Meyer, and Willis finished 22nd in the 4x400. And Will Kemper out of East Central was 15th in the shot put in the large school division. All right, so there you have it. Some of the top performers from the Hoosier State Relays up in Indianapolis over the weekend. You can see full results by going over to EagleCountryOnline.com. Now I want to transition away from high school athletics and talk a little college basketball, because it is March, and it's kind of like a crime to not talk about college basketball in the month of March, I believe. And I do want to start with the men's tournament. It is now 7 straight seasons that the preseason number one team has failed to win it all. Kansas, the latest team to falter, losing to Gonzaga in the round of 32. So North Carolina, Gonzaga twice, Kansas twice now, and Duke twice are the other preseason number one teams to not win at all. Gonzaga did make it to the title game in 2021, but lost to Baylor. Don't know how your bracket is looking at this point in the game, but there are 0 perfect brackets left. On the men's side of things, it was a Yale upset over Auburn that torched the final remaining perfect bracket. But if you look at the round of 16, all 4-1 seeds are there. All 4-2 seeds, 2 of the 3 seeds have made it to the round of 16 as well. So the only true outliers, because you got some 4 and 5 seeds there as well, are the 6 seed Clemson Tigers and the 11 seed NC State Wolfpack, both out of the ACC. But how about North Carolina State? I don't even think they were going to make the tournament. They go 5-0. Actually, they weren't going to make the tournament. They go 5-0 at the ACC tournament, and now they are just on a heater as they have worked their way into the round of 16. That has happened in prior years where teams win their conference championship, then they go play at the first 4 or whatever it might be, and they get on a little run, go to the Elite Eight, maybe even challenge for the Final Four, and NC State is doing that this go-around. If I want to look at my bracket, I'm not afraid to embarrass myself. I did pick 11 of the 16 Sweet 16 teams correctly. That's not bad. Could be better. I can get 6 of 8 for the Elite Eight, and all my Final Four picks are still there, which is UConn, North Carolina, Houston, and Tennessee. Feel pretty confident about UConn, defending champion. They're a very, very strong team. North Carolina, one of the older teams in the country. That seems to be a winning recipe nowadays. Houston, a lot of experience there. Very, very good team. Tennessee, good team, a lot of depth. I really like their team, but they are in a region that's going to be very, very tough to win. They got a matchup against Creighton. And then the one team that's left with some regional fanfare is Purdue, which they've not really done all that well in the postseason in recent memory, especially when they've been highly seeded. They've performed below expectations, but they're looking pretty good so far. They are going to be taking on Gonzaga in their Sweet 16 matchup. But I look at that region, that is a very tough. Whoever wins that region out of those four teams, definitely deserving to be in the Final Four. So that's kind of where I'm at right now on the men's tournament. Still think UConn's tournament to lose. They have just been so super good from last year to this year. I love what Dan Hurley does with his team there. The only thing that I could see tripping them up, the only team I could see tripping them up is Iowa State in the Elite Eight because they're such a good defensive team. But I think you got to score a little bit to knock off UConn. Going to be easier said than done. But hopefully your piece of paper with all of your picks is doing well at this point. Mine's decent. I'm doing okay. Looking at the women's college basketball tournament, there's actually games in. They're still trying to fill out the Sweet 16, so not going to talk a whole lot in depth about any particular. I will say South Carolina still alive. They just beat North Carolina 88-41 in the round of 32. They are the top seed in the tournament, and the Indiana Hoosiers could be staring at South Carolina very, very soon if they can get through Oklahoma, as they will play them in a 4-5 matchup at 6:30. So actually, once the show is over, I guess everyone could settle in and watch the Hoosiers play the Sooners for the right to play the top team in the tournament. Notre Dame advancing earlier, so you got the 2-3 matchup at the bottom of that region with Notre Dame State. 1-seed Texas, 2-seed Stanford still alive in the Portland Regional. I do have Stanford in my Final Four along with South Carolina. LSU advancing yesterday. They await the winner of UCLA and Creighton. You have number 1-seed Iowa that's going to play West Virginia tonight at 8 o'clock. Caitlin Clark took a big, huge elbow to the face in the opening round win in the 1-16 matchup, but she is okay, and I don't know that she played her best game in that first round. Look for her to come up big tonight. Going to be fascinating if they get to play LSU in the regional championship. That should be a really, really good game with a lot of star power. And then Ohio State, I knew they weren't going to make the Final Four. They just have not been a good enough defensive team this season. They get knocked off by Duke in the 2-7 matchup yesterday. I had them going out against UConn in the Sweet 16 anyways, as I got UConn in the Final Four. But really good team from Ohio State. A lot of talent there. J.C. Shelton to mention one. She's got a really cool story, by the way, if you want to kind of look up what her story is. But not good enough defensively from this team this year, as they fall 75-63 to Duke yesterday. But been a pretty entertaining tournament already. I think we'll get some really, really entertaining games in the Sweet 16 with a lot of the top seeds going to be matching up with one another. So if you haven't been paying attention to the women's basketball tournament, I suggest doing so, starting with the Sweet 16 or maybe even tonight. I think Indiana-Oklahoma, that's got a chance to be a really good game. Anytime Caitlin Clark's on the TV, worth tuning into. And then Syracuse and UConn, an old rivalry renewed between those two schools tonight. Actually, that game in progress as we speak, a 3-6 matchup for the right Duke. So there you have it. One perfect bracket remaining after some of the Sunday upsets like Duke over Ohio State. So there you have it with the women's basketball tournament. Nobody's really one person's perfect at this point, men and women's tournaments. So kudos to that person. I don't know what the odds are. I don't even know what the name of the number is in terms of the odds to have a perfect bracket. I just don't see it being a real distinct possibility for anybody to do. If it happens, I don't know. That's maybe the most impressive feat of all. Kind of at a loss for words, even thinking about that being a possibility. So let's just move on. Let's talk a little Cincinnati Reds. Opening day coming up on Thursday. They will host the Washington Nationals for a three-game set. They'll play the Thursday game off Friday and then play on Saturday and Sunday. They will be welcoming home some friendly faces, Nick Senzel and Jesse Winker, making the opening day roster for the Washington Nationals. Winker had the one really good all-star season for the Reds, a couple of solid seasons, but the one all-star season. Nick Senzel, often injured, never really panned out as the player they expected him to be after drafting him in the first round. A couple likable guys, they just careers didn't pan out the way Reds fans hoped that they would. Hopefully they have a nice season with Washington, but get off to a slow start those first three games against the Cincinnati Reds. But opportunity for the Reds to come out of the gate strong against the Washington Nationals, which were arguably the worst team in baseball a year ago. That doesn't always mean much in baseball. Anybody can win on any given day, but it is going to be imperative for this Reds team to get off to a good start this season. It's imperative for them to get off to a good start any season. Even though it is a long season, they have a habit of playing terrible in the month of April and digging themselves in too big of a hole to climb out of. And the National League Central is expected to be a very good division. I went to FanGraphs to pull their projections for the standings, and they have the Cardinals winning the division 83-79, Cubs at 82-80, Brewers at 80-82, Reds at 79-83, and the Pirates at 77-85. So all these teams separated by what? Six games? That is absolutely incredible. It could go to any one of these teams. I myself would rule the Pirates out. I don't think they have the roster to win the National League Central. But again, they're still going to be a competitive team. I would rearrange this a little bit. I actually think the Cubs are the best team in the division. Cardinals and Reds, a little bit of a toss-up there. I think Milwaukee should probably be slated in at fourth. But again, it's coming from FanGraphs, and we'll kind of stick with what they're saying. But I guess the topic that I want to get into for this segment to round out the show this evening is talking about the expectations for this team, because they were much different several weeks ago or even months ago when it looked like the full team was going to be intact, or at least closer to intact. But there's some very big names that are not going to start the season with the Reds, starting with Matt McClain. You could argue that he is their best and most important player, a guy that's going to play second and short. He's going to play those positions very well. Excellent defender, great hitter for as young as he is with his service time. And he's also a young man that can wreak havoc on the base paths, as many of these Cincinnati Reds can. But they're going to be without him for a while as he deals with some injury concerns. T.J. Friedl, who was their another most important player, he was their team MVP last year. These are both guys that typically hit at the top of the order, so now you have to kind of adjust things there. Looks like maybe Jonathan India will go to the top of the lineup as a leadoff type guy, but having McClain and Friedl not available, Friedl's going to be out at least 6 weeks with a wrist injury. It's going to be great when they get him back. Hopefully they get McClain back sooner rather. It's going to be like adding a couple of all-stars to your roster because they can play at that level. And then you got the situation with Noelvi Marte, where he's suspended for half the season for using performance enhancers. He's going to be able to come back for the second half of the season, help them with their infield depth. He's a very, very talented player that hit the ball really well at the end of last season. But then if they make the playoffs, he's not allowed to play because of the PED suspension, so that hurts long-term. They did go out and trade for Santiago Espinal from the Toronto Blue Jays, a guy that did make the All-Star team in 2022, but more of a defensive-minded player. Now, we'll see what he gives them from a hitting perspective, but it does look like he will help upgrade their defense up the middle as he's going to play shortstop. I'm sure he's capable of playing second base and third as well to spell some of the starters, which looks like they'll go into opening day on Thursday. Tyler Stevenson behind the plate, Christian Encarnacion Strand, who hit the ball well in spring training, hitting a lot of homers. He'll be your first baseman. Jonathan India at second, Ellie De La Cruz at short, Jamer Candelario at third. You'll have Spencer Steer, Stuart Fairchild, Jake Fraley and Will Benson, the four outfielders. Whoever's not in the field will likely DH. You also have Espinal, who I just talked about, rotating in as an infielder. Luke Maley hit the ball really well as the backup catcher. Nick Martini makes the team as a left-hander that can play first base. And they do have one roster spot remaining. I don't know if they're waiting for somebody to get cut, try to pick somebody up, or if they're just making that final decision on who that last position player is going to be to fill out their 26-man roster. But my expectations for the Reds have downgraded just a little bit. I'm usually Mr. Optimistic, but missing McLain and Friedel, they got some pitchers that are trying to work their way back. They were great in spring training all the way around. The pitching started off really good, then it kind of faltered. And I know guys are typically working on specific pitches and things of that nature and looking at runs given up and ERA and all that stuff. It's maybe not indicative of how they're going to perform during the regular season, but I just think they're banged up right now. Their defense is a question mark. I think the hitting's going to be fine, even though it maybe wasn't spectacular in spring training. But until there's a healthy McLain and Friedel in this lineup, I don't know that I can call the Reds a playoff team, because I do think that those might be their two most important players on the roster. So right now, I think the Reds are going to challenge to be right around that 500 mark and win 82 games this season. I think they're probably going to have to get to 85 or 90 in that range if they want to win the National League Central and, of course, to put themselves in a conversation for a wild card spot. So as it stands today, I'm less optimistic. I think the Reds will just miss the playoffs. I hope I am super wrong on this. And maybe they can just tread enough water in the early portions of the season. They can get some of their important guys back. Maybe they'll make market midway through the year, because they do have the prospects to give up if they choose to do so. So still a little light at the end of the tunnel, just a little less optimistic based on how the roster looks today as compared to what it looked like a couple weeks ago, maybe even a couple months ago. But still think it's going to be a great opening day, a chance to get off to a good start, like I said, playing against the Washington Nationals, who are not expected to be very good this season. So looks like it's going to be a beautiful Thursday. I know I'm going to be locked in on the game. Many of you probably are too. And despite what my expectations are and how I'm feeling about the season, I will always be super supportive. So it's always go Reds. Looking forward to a great season. Hopefully my prediction is wrong. And hopefully you enjoyed the show this evening. Thank you, as always, for tuning in to Crunch Time. It is presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. You can go to OrthoSensi.com to learn more about those fine folks. Until next time, thanks so much for listening. Chat at you next week. Eagle Country 99.3.